إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the lessons from Surah Al-Hujurat, and as I mentioned the importance of the lessons and how they all are related to the most important aspect of the Muslims, which is the sense of being an ummah, the sense of being one, the sense of being together. An ummah which is based on faith, not which is based on race, not which is based on nationality or language or any other thing, but which is based on faith, which is Islam. Today we look at this ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min az-zann, inna ba'da az-zanni ism. ولا تجسسوا ولا يغضب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here several things where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says first that O you who believe, and again all of these ayat are ayat of hukum. Allah says, do not be suspicious. Avoid suspicion, because some suspicion is sin. Now, this is such an important thing. The problem with suspicion is that you can prove that you did not do something. You can prove that you did something, the opposite. You can prove you did something, but you cannot prove that you did not do something. Because by definition, if you did not do it, there cannot be a proof. So, suspicion, if you start suspecting, then there is no end to that. And one of the places where I have seen this happening is in marriages, where people look at each other's messages on the phones, and they go into the phone and they say, why are you checking the messages of your wife? Why is your wife checking your messages? And for what? But people do this. And obviously it's based on suspicion. And you are checking messages and so on, and then one leads to other, and then next thing you know, your whole marriage has gone down the drain. Similarly, in many other places and so on, not only in marriages, even in friendships, in business transactions. And like yesterday, I think Marana was saying that it takes years to build up trust, but it takes one wrong thought to destroy that trust, and then to rebuild that trust is almost impossible. Almost impossible. And it's something which is... And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not suspect. If there is some clear evidence in front of you, that's a different matter. So do not suspect. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not spy on each other. La tajassasu. So do not spy on each other. Again, arising out of suspicion. So you are suspecting something, then you are spying on something. Who is saying what? And so on. Trying to listen to conversations. All of these things, as I mentioned yesterday, these are things which destroy trust. And therefore, which destroy the sense of being one ummah. How can you be one ummah? How can you consider somebody to be your brother when you don't trust them? And all of these are things which destroy trust. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not backbite. Do not do ghibah. And Allah gives the example. He says, would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? And then Allah says, فَكَرِهْتُمُ. This example itself, you would hate it. You would hate to do that. The example itself is something which brings about karahiyat in your sense. So Allah says, therefore, don't do it. Just like you hate the thought of eating the flesh of your dead brother, hate the thought of gossip. Hate the thought of backbiting. In the seerah, there is a story of two women. Somebody came and they said to Prophet ﷺ that these two women were in great pain. And they had terrible stomach cramps, and they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for some solution for this. So he called them, and when they came, he said, he told them to vomit. And when they put their fingers in their throat and they started vomiting, they actually brought up lumps of flesh. Now this is one of the many mu'jizat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They actually brought up, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is what they were doing. Now obviously they were not cannibals, they were not actually cutting up somebody and eating, but this was ghibah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually showed what Allah mentioned in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that in a material way, where they actually brought out lumps of meat and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is what they are doing. It is they are doing ghibah, and because of this ghibah is happening. The other issue with ghibah is that Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah said that if I had to do ghibah, then I would do the ghibah of my mother, because at least my good deeds go to that person. Because this is what happens with ghibah. With ghibah, when you do ghibah, then your good deeds go to the person about whom you are talking. Now, how stupid it is that you want to give your good deeds to somebody you dislike. I mean, ghibat is what? Ghibat is you are saying something bad about someone, right? So you don't like that person. So you want to give your good deeds to that person who you don't even like? I mean, what sense does it make? Why would you want to do that? Why would you give your good deeds to someone who you don't even like? And this is the whole issue of ghibat is like this. Because if you do with this ghibat, all your deeds are going to that person. And then the other issue also, that this also happened. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all these lessons. They came and asked, they said to Nabi, Ya Rasulullah, but what we are saying is true. Yeah, they said, this is true. Nabi said, that is why it is ghibah. If it was not true, it would be buhtan, which is slander. So you are inventing something. The person never even did something. You are inventing some bad story and you are telling the story. They said, this is even worse than ghibah, because this is slander, you are slandering somebody. Ghibah is if it is true. So what is ghibah? Ghibah is to say something negative about another person, which is true. But to say something negative in their absence, behind their back. So the point is that you might say, well, you know, should we correct somebody or not? What is wrong with constructive criticism? Nothing wrong with constructive criticism. Go and give it to that person. If there is something that you want to say to somebody, go and say it to them. There is no sense in you talking about me to someone else. What good is that? If you are really interested in me and you would like to correct me, then you must come and tell me. This is what you are doing, which is right or wrong, and you should not do it and whatnot. But there's no sense in talking about me to someone else. You know, I would be very happy if you do that, because I get your good deeds. Somebody said, somebody told Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi that so-and-so is doing your ghibat. So Imam Shafi sent him some fruit as a gift. So the man said, what is this? So he said, you are giving me your good deeds, so I'm returning some. I'm returning a gift for you, you know, I'm sending some fruit. Our ulama, mashallah, they so nicely they used to illustrate these things. Final point on this ghibah, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said about Sayyidah Sauda radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's other wife, both of them are our mothers. She just said that she is a bit heavy. Right, that's all. I mean, she didn't bad talk her or something. Just said, she said she's a bit heavy, which she was. Rasulullah said, Aisha, if these words of yours are taken and put into the ocean, it would turn the entire ocean bitter. Huh? Now, what did she say? What was so bad? I mean, she's saying so and so heavy. Now, you might say, well, you know, we do this all the time. And like yesterday, we said, we not only say these things, but we also give bad names to people and so on and so forth. So here, the whole point of all of these ayat is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising us about what we need to do to maintain the solidarity of the ummah. Today this is in shambles. It's completely, you know, destroyed. We need to bring it back. We need to bring it back. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not speak in a language which even one person in that group does not understand. We do it all the time. If a few Indians get together, they talk in Urdu. If a few Bengalis get together, they talk only in Bangla. They don't care whether somebody understands or doesn't understand. If some Arabs get together, they only talk in Arabic. Now, the point is that at least find out, you know, if somebody is doing, and translate, make the effort to translate if you want to do that. Right? But why is the Prophet ﷺ saying don't talk in a language with even one doesn't understand? Because this is what produces suspicion. Especially, you might be talking, you tell a joke, everybody laughs. The one who doesn't understand, he can't, obviously, that person can't laugh. But they might start thinking, they are laughing at me. So now some, you know, bad vibes are going on in this group. So person was perfectly good. Now suddenly he starts thinking, all these people there, whenever we get together, they laugh and I'm the only one out, which means they're laughing at me. So all of these things are things which break up the break up the solidarity and the adhesiveness, the cohesiveness of the Ummah, and therefore we need to avoid them. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts repentance and is most merciful, which means Allah is saying, go make tawbah. If you have been doing these things, make tawbah, change your ways, because this is what breaks up the Ummah. I think this is something which is very important. We should strongly change our ways with respect to riba. One of the things is, people say, well, no, I didn't say anything, but I could not, but I was in the group. Now, with riba, saying it and listening to it are equally bad. So if you find that somebody is doing some riba in your group, either try to change them, either try to tell them, look, this is riba, please don't do that. Otherwise, at least minimum, get up and leave. Don't sit there. Don't sit there and don't listen to that. Get up and leave. Somebody says, why are you going away? You say, because this is what you're doing. You are doing ghibat. This is bad. I can't stop you. So at least I don't want to be part of this. I'm going away. So very, very important. This is something that may Allah protect us. We do it all the time. The whole time, this is what we are doing. And that is the reason why it is also in many ways a good thing to pick and choose your friends. If you have friends who are conscious of all these things, then these things won't happen. But if you have a huge big group of people and so on, and you are not choosy about your friends, then you get into these things yourself. Because how many people will you, unless you have enough energy to educate everybody and so on, which most of us don't have. So also very important to pick and choose your friends in such a way that you are in the company of good people. So no suspicion, no spying, and no backbiting. That is the lesson today, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice what we learn and then to benefit from it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.